ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कन्ये विश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी हियर ऑस्पिशियस वर्ड्स विथ अवर इयर्स, मे वी सी ऑस्पिशियस थिंग्स विथ अवर आईज। Worshipping the gods with steady limbs, may we enjoy a life that is beneficial to all. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to us. May Garuda, the destroyer of evil, be well disposed towards us. May Brihaspati ensure our welfare. Om, peace, peace. Peace be unto all. We are studying the Mandukya Upanishad, Prathama Prakarana, called Agama Prakarana. In our last class, the opponent, as it were, has raised a question. Why did he raise a question and what was the question? The third mantra, which we were exploring, is describing graphically how that one Paramatma, one Brahma, identifies itself with the sthula sharira, assuming a particular name called Vishva, and forgets even that he is the Virat, and that is called bondage. This description is to tell that is only 1/4 of your real nature. That's not your real nature. This is the true purpose of describing these three bodies, three states of experiences with three names, but at the same time not reminding us that whenever we think we are individuals, inevitably there would be an idea of universality, and that is our true nature, and that alone can remove all limitations. Universality means no limitations, either on the gross aspect, subtle aspect, or causal aspect. Slowly expand the limitation of the personality until it attains universality, and the same process has to be applied as far as the taijasa or swapna avastha or sukshma sharira is concerned, until we achieve our identity with Hiranyagarbha or Sutratma. Same thing again has to be done in the sushupti avastha also. That is, the prajna must become merged in Ishvara, karana sharira of the individual must become merged in the universal, which is called Ishvara. And Ishvara is the master of Maya, not the slave of Maya. Then we also become masters of Maya. That means Maya can no longer bind us, so long as the body-mind is there. But after that, there is no Maya, there is no bondage, there is no sadhana, there is no liberation, there is no one who becomes free, no guru, no Ishvara, until that time, Ishvara is real, Guru is real, the individual called Atma is also real. It is for this purpose that this is being described. Very briefly, that the opponent raises, while describing the gross body and experience of the gross body, suddenly you also described the gross body of Virat by introducing Saptanga, that is the universal body of the Virat. That is to say that the heaven is the head, the earth is the feet, and the entire space is your body. All the waters that we see is the Jala Tattva. All the air that we experience is nothing but the Vayu Tattva. That is to say, all the Pancha Bhutas must now be identified as the universal, not as the individual. The more we identify the individual with the universal, the individual becomes less. Individuality means limitation. Limitation becomes less, and universality means limitless, until the idea that we are finite is completely destroyed, and what remains in human language, we call it the infinite. That is the purpose. So the objection is, why did you introduce the Virat Tattva? The answer is, so that anyway we are aware that we are universal. As I mentioned, one of the most important points, you cannot know what is an individuality unless you know what is universality. For example, if you don't know what is white, you will never know what is black. If you do not know what is darkness, you will never know what is light. If you do not know you are male, you do not know what is female. This is the very structure of the mind through which we experience everything. Remember, the experiencer is always Chidabhasa combined with the mind. Even though we are talking about gross body, gross sense organs, gross objects called worldly objects, but the experience is done only in the mind. So we cannot think of individuality. The moment I say I am an individual, in difference to what? In distinction to what? In distinction to universality. When I say I am a male, I am identifying myself as an individual. When I say I am a human being, I am identifying myself with the universal. But that universality is only with regard to humanness. But when I say I am a living creature, I am expanding and becoming identified with the entire living creature. But when I say I am identifying myself with the existence, then I am one with whatever is existing, the entire universe. This is how the small must be removed. Only way is to merge it in the larger whole, until all finiteness, idea of finiteness, is completely removed. Only then, evancha sati, only when this phenomena takes place, sarva prapancha upashame advaita siddhi, the true nature of reality. Remember, always, so I am Atma. This Atman is that Brahman. This is the fourth most important Mahavakya. So that is, Mahavakya means there is no I, you, he, she, it, small, big. There is only one. And to say it is only one is also in human language. Because when we become merged in the infinite doesn't say I. To say I, the infinite requires another object besides it. infinity means there is no second. When there is no second, the I cannot be used at all. So, evam chasate sarva prapancha upashame. When the whole universe consisting of body, mind and the reflected consciousness, when all the three become merged in what we call Brahman, Advaita Siddhihi, we attain to that our real state, the only real state, the truth state, that is called Advaita. And then Shankaracharya was on supporting his statements by quoting Shrutis, other scriptures and also Smritis. So he is telling Sarva Bhutastascha Atma Eko Drishtah Syat. In every being, there is only one consciousness. Atma means pure consciousness. Consciousness cannot be multiplied because the moment you say there are two, which is small consciousness, which is big consciousness, which is sweet consciousness, which is bitter consciousness, which is left side consciousness, right side consciousness, fat consciousness, thin consciousness, shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandha. All these divisions, qualities would step in, and that is not desirable. So pure consciousness is only one. That is again human language. When something is one, you can't even say it is one. Let us keep that in mind. So sarva bhutastascha, in all beings, as the real support of every individual being, eko atma drishta syat, only one atman is perceived. So how do we know? Sarva bhutani cha atmani, all beings are in the self, the self is in all beings. In support, quotes one from Bhagavad Gita, one from Isavasya. Sarva bhutastam atmanam, sarva bhutani cha atmani, ikshate yoga yukta atma, sarvatra samadarshanaha. That is to say, the self is all beings are nothing but the self. Here, all beings means not only living beings, whatever is experienced, a mountain, a river, a human being, a bird, an animal, a plant. Not only that, even we say, Hindus say, Bhumata. If you ask a scientist, earth is lifeless, water is lifeless, fire is lifeless, air is lifeless, space is lifeless. For whom? For the so-called worldly scientist. You ask a Vedantin, Bhumata, Jala Devata, Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Akasha Devata. Everything is a nothing but Devata. That is why the Lord Shiva is worshipped as Panchabhutas in South India in five distinct temples, places. I mentioned it while we were talking about, I think, Dakshinamurti Stotram. Okay, so he who sees everywhere the self in all existences and all existences in the self, he does not hate nor shrink from anything because everything is that one real self. Ityadi shruti arthascheva upasamrita syat. And thus alone, the meaning of all Shruti passages, Smriti passages as well, are can be said to be established. That is the essence of all scriptures, call them Shrutis or Smriti, is only one. And that is to establish there is only one Atman, one Brahman, not Prakruti and Purusha. That is the real purpose. Okay. So that is what we have discussed it. Now, a opponent rises, and Shankaracharya himself is the opponent. He sits in two places like a man playing a solitaire game. So, what does he say? That assuming that some of us may have these doubts, get in course of our study, if not now, in future, and inevitably that will happen, he is forestalling such problems by raising them himself and answering them himself. So what is he telling? That he is raising Sankhya's view according to Sankhya philosophy. And when we are talking about Upanishads, we have to have at least some idea about the other five schools of philosophy. So Uttaramimamsa is Vedanta. There are five other schools. What are they? First of all, Sankhya and Yoga, because they are so near, they are clubbed into two or clubbed into one. Nyaya Vaisheshika is another pair. Four. Purvamimamsa is fifth. Don't pair it with Uttaramimamsa. Uttaramimamsa means, that is Upanishads, Advaita Vedanta, Shankara Vedanta. You have to understand that one. So according to the one school of philosophy, which is called Sankhya, in contrast with Vedantic teaching, what is Vedantic teaching? Atma is one, but Prakriti manifests as infinite forms. One Atma, like one sun, reflecting in myriads of dew drops or water drops in a ocean. So one Atma is reflecting in infinite number of Prakriti manifestations of Prakriti. Prakriti is one, but its manifestations are separate. But this is Vedanta. In contrast, what does the Sankhya say? Vedanta says Prakriti manifestations are innumerable. Vedanta says that but Purushas are many. One Prakriti according to Sankhya, but many Purushas. Vedanta say one Purusha, one Atma, but infinite number of Prakritis. According to Sankhya, Prakriti is one. Its manifestations are of course many. So, if we do not understand the universality, what happens? I become one individual, you become another individual, and you reflect one Atma, I reflect another Atma, your Atma will be experiencing happiness, my Atma will be experiencing unhappiness, and two opposite experiences cannot be experienced by one and the same Atma, and therefore Purushas are many. So if we do not accept Virat, then this problem will come, that like Sankhyas, we have to accept in as many number of bodies and minds, so many number of Purushas. And that is unacceptable because it goes against the teachings of the Shruti and Smriti, which we see earlier, that Atma Eka Eva Syat, it cannot be many. So Shankaracharya puts the opponents in the Sanskrit form, which we are starting in today's class. What is he telling? Anyathahi, otherwise, that is, if one Atma is not accepted, Swadeha Parichinna Eva Pratyegatma, Pratyegatma, Pratyek Atma, Pratyeka Atma, every individual body and mind reflecting one specialized Atma, Swadeha Parichinna, and it is limited only by one's body and mind, Sankhya Divihi Iva, like the teachings of the Sankhya Upanishad, Drishtasyat. So it will be coming to the teachings of the Sankhya as if we are accepting. What is the teaching? There are many Purushas. So if one Purusha is released, everybody else is going to be maybe suffering. So each person has to try only in one way. Each one will be doing sadhana separately. Each one will be getting liberated. Each one's experience is totally different. This would be the result if we do not say that in every being there is only one Atma. Tatha cha sati, if Sankhya view is accepted, what happens? Advaitam iti shruti krutaha viseshaha nasyat na bhavati. Shruti kruta, the teachings of the emphasis given by the shrutis, that is Upanishads, Smritis, Brahma Sutras, Advaitam. There is only one Paramatma, there is no Dvaita. This teach viseshaha, this special teaching, nasyat, it becomes destroyed. That means we are accepting that many Purushas are there, many experiences are there, everybody has to only experience, in which case what happens is, according to Sankhya, each Purusha is infinite and each consciousness is infinite. How many infinites? As many Purushas, so many infinites are there. So that is not acceptable. Sankhyadi darshanena avisesha, because if the meaning is taken as many Atmas because of many bodies and minds, this Advaita Vedanta and Sankhya Vedanta, there would be no differentiation, and that is not desirable. Ishyate cha sarva upanishadam sarva atma aikya pratipadakatvam. But Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta doesn't accept it. Remember, always we don't use the word Advaita Vedanta. Vedanta has got three main schools: Dvaita, Advaita, Dvaita, and Visishta Advaita. So if we do not specify while discussing Mandukya Karika or Shankara's commentary, we always have to keep in background, we are talking about Advaita Vedanta, not Ramanuja's Visishta Advaita, not Madhvacharya's Dvaita Vedanta, because they accept many souls, different, somewhat mixed, somewhat separate also. According to Visishta Advaita, we have unity and diversity. One with God, different also from God at the same time. Like, all the cells of the body are different, but as body, part of the body, they are united. But Madhvacharya's Dvaita Vedanta is Panchabheda. Everything is different from everything. Every jiva is different from every other jiva. Every object in this world is different from every object in this world. Atma is different from world. Jiva is different from the world. Jiva is different from Ishvara. World is different from Ishvara. So these are called five Panchabhedas are there. So we are not talking about that. So according to Advaita Vedanta, the purport of every scripture, that is Upanishad or Smritis like Bhagavad Gita or Brahma Sutras. Remember, Prasthanatraya means only three: Upanishads called Vedanta, Brahma Sutras and Bhagavad Gita. The Upanishads are called Shruti Prasthana. The Brahma Sutras are called Nyaya Prasthana. And Bhagavad Gita is called Smriti Prasthana. Now, Ishyate cha Sarva Upanishadam Sarva Atma Aikya Pratipadakatvam. What do the Upanishads? How many Upanishads? Sarva Upanishad, all Upanishads. So, Ishyate cha, they all propound, they all teach with one voice. What is this? Sarva Atma Aikya. That is, there is only one Atma, and everything is nothing but that one Atma appearing with different names and forms, like one light appearing as myriads of objects that are projected onto the screen, or like myriads of reflections of the sun in different particles of the water, drops of the water. But what do they say? Only one Atma. Atma Aikya Pratipadakatvam. That there is only one Atma, and therefore every object has no choice but to say, I am that same Atma. Rama says, I am Brahman. Krishna says, I am Brahman. Jesus says, I am Brahman. So everybody has no option. Even a mosquito says, I am Brahman. Has to say, sooner or later. So that is, this is the Ishateja. This is the desired. This is the real teacher. Tataha, therefore, Yuktameva Asya, Adhyatmikasya, Pindatmanaha, Diloka Adi Angatvena, Virat Atmana, Adhi Daivikena, Ekatvam, Iti Avipretya, Saptangatvochana. So, Shankaracharya is answering the objection of the Purvapaksha, which is Sankhya, that why suddenly have you brought this Virat while describing? Why the mantra Upanishad has brought, not Shankara has brought, Upanishad has brought, Saptangatva. Why? Because the individual and the universal are obverse and reverse of the same coin. If we do not understand what is called Jagradavastha in both the aspects of individual as well as universal, our sadhana remains incomplete. We will never be able to realize that it is nothing but pure Atma. This is the purpose. Tataha, therefore, for the given reasons, Yuktameva, whatever the mantra says, Upanishad says, is absolutely rational, reasonable, acceptable. What is it? Adhyatmikasya, the individual soul. Who is Pindatmanaha, the individual Atman. Dhyulokadi Angatvena, by identifying this individual in the waking state with the Virat, by saying the heavenly world like Vamana occupied for Bali, Bali was seeing that the Divine Lord Narayana, he with 3 feet, he occupied the entire universe, the what is called Bhuhu, Bhuvaha and Swaha. That means what? He was Narayana, assumed the form of Virat and telling to Bali. Bali is a very interesting analogy. Bali, that you as an individual named as Bali do not exist. Only I exist. You don't exist at all. You don't even exist as a part. You don't exist as an amsha. You are me, I am you. This is called Mahavakya. So, Bali is a very interesting word. Bali means offering. Bali means sacrifice. Sri Ramakrishna says, to the question, when do I see God? When you destroy your eye, when you remove your eye, then you will see God. When I destroy eye, what remains? What remains is God remains. When the ocean falls upon a drop of water, this is called tsunami, then only the ocean remains, the individual doesn't remain. So, Dhyulokadi Angatvena Viradatmana, and he is called Virat. Adhi Daivakena Ekatvam. This, you see, the whole universe is divided like a triangle. Adhyatmika, I, you, as individual bodies. Adhibhautika, the entire experienced external world. Adhi Daivika, all the powers of manifestations of God ruling over this entire universe, making it not only Srishti, but Sthiti also, Laya also. This triangle is manifestation of Brahman. So, Virat Atmana, Adhi Daivikena Ekatvam, that is, everything that we experience, the entire Jagat, both the individual, universal, become one with the Virat, Iti Abhipretya, with this purpose in mind, Saptangatva, Vachanam, the description of the 7 limbs as part of the Jagradavastha Vishwa, the Atman who identifies temporarily for some time with this waking state is called Vishva. If he is identifying, if Atma is identifying with one particular body and mind, that Atman gets the name Vishva. But if the same Atma identifies with the entire universe consisting of all the individuals, Adhyatmika, the entire experienced world called Jagat, and also all the powers that are ruling and regulating this entire universe called Adidaivika, Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, and Adidaivika in its waking aspect, Sthula Sharira, and such a identity, then Atman is called or known as Virat. This is but proper, because the purpose is to get rid of all divisions, all dvaita, duality, all the second things, and remain as one. That is the purpose. So, yuktameva, it is but correct. And Shankaracharya profusely supports his arguments with the scriptures. Now he is bringing a scriptural statement from the Chandogya Upanishad. First, I will give the story. The story goes like this. There were six Brahmanas, and there was an enlightened soul called, a king called Ashwapati, and these six Brahmanas used to worship Virat as one particular limb. And they somehow felt our upasana, our contemplation is defective. We are not getting what we were expecting or what we were asked to expect. So, there must be something lacking, which we are incapable of understanding. Here is a great soul. Let us approach him, put our questions to him. And then they approach him, and then they ask. Of course, assuming indirectly the position of a guru, he says, each one of you put your questions individually. So one asks, I am worshipping Virat in the form of the legs. And the king says that you are only worshipping the one part, you are not worshipping the universal. That is every leg in this world. Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha, Sahasra Akshaha, Sahasra Path, infinite padas. Every pada is God's pada. So instead of thinking that this is my particular person's leg, you have to think that this legs also belong to God. These hands belong to God. This head belongs to God. This middle part of my body belongs to God. My bladder belongs to God. My lungs belong to God. My back belongs to God. This is how you have to do contemplation. So in that respect, there was one question. There was one Brahmana who was worshipping Virat as his own head, as an individual, his own head. My head is Virat. Then Ashwapati, the guru, Sachidananda, corrects him and says, it is not complete. You have to think Virat not as your head, but every head that you see as Virat. Then you will not lose anything, because as your head also is Virat, everybody's head also is Virat, and then you will identify yourself with every head, and thereby you identify yourself with everybody equally, and there you will not have attachments, likes and dislikes, raga, dvesha. Then you will never do adharma. You will be only doing dharma, because you will not harm yourself. You will only do good to yourself, and thereby you will enjoy the happiness of Virat. So, if it was good that you came to me, had you continued without understanding what teaching I have given you and modified your upasana and continued as I instructed you, murthate vyapatishyati, your head will fall down. it doesn't really mean a guru will curse his disciple, may you die. What it means is you will remain an idiot. Now also you are an idiot and you will continue to remain an idiot because you are a headless fellow. That is the meaning. So that is what Shankaracharya is quoting from Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, 12th section, 2nd mantra. Murthate vyapatishyat. Had you not come to me, your head should have fallen. Fortunately, you came to me and this is how you are going to be saved. Itiha vacha murthate vyapatishyat yanmam na agamishya. Had you not come to me and received my teaching and modified your method of contemplation, you would have remained a foolish fellow and you would have further fallen even from this high state, because wrong path leads one to still down and down and down. So ityadi linga darshanachya. All these indications indicate that Virat, the universality, slowly man has to travel from a lower state to a higher state. What is the higher state? To merge the individuality in the universality, in the cosmic being. Viraja ekatvam upalakshanartham hiranya garbha avyakrutatmanoho. Here, Shankaracharya gives a beautiful suggestion to us. Why? This objection was raised to make the point clear that the Jagradavastha, waking state, where Atma identifying with the body mind and interacting with this external world and names himself as Vishwa, must slowly expand by getting rid of the limitations. Then one day he will become Virat. So that the Vishwa must become Virat. Ityadihi. Thus, you have to apply this to other two states also. What are the other two states? That you have to say, you have to say that the Taijasa, that is Atma, identifying with this Svapnavastha, Svapna Prapancha, and experiencing that, considers at the beginning, I am called Taijasa, but he has to slowly give up his individuality and merge in Hiranyagarbha, or called Sutratma. That is called spiritual progress. Similar way, Prajna, who is the individual in the Sushupti Avastha, he must give up his individual nature and become slowly merged in the Avyakruta, means unmanifest. And the totality of unmanifest is called Ishvara, and merge with Ishvara. That is how one realizes, I am Atma. So I am Atma. Aham Brahmasmi. That is the realization that comes. So this is called Linga Darshanachya. Pointing out. For example, suppose there is a three-storied building and a person wants to meet somebody. And that somebody is living in the on the third floor. So at the beginning of the staircase, there will be an arrow pointing the 2 and 3. That is to say, if you go up, you are now on the first floor. If you take these steps, you will reach the second and third floor. So when this person reaches the second floor, at the beginning of the second floor stairs, another arrow will be there, third floor, like that. So, from the waking state, individuality, to universal waking state. From the individual dream state to the universal dream state. From the individual deep sleep state to the universal deep sleep state. This is how progress has to be made. And this is being supported now in next Shankaracharya's commentary. Uktam cha etat madhubrahmane. That is, the Taijasa. There is somebody inside everything in this world. That is said, there are in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, every chapter, and there are six chapters, every chapter is called a Brahmana. Here Brahmana has nothing to do with Brahmana Jati or anything. It means chapter, Brahmana. So there is one chapter called Madhu Brahmana, and in that Madhu Brahmana there is a quotation, and that quotation is taken by Shankaracharya here. On every occasion, Shankara takes these quotations. Eschayam asyam prithivyam tejomayaha amrutamayaha purushaha eschayam adhyatmam ityadi. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, second chapter, fifth section, first mantra. It is also stated in the Madhu Brahmana. This bright immortal person in this earth and that bright immortal person in the body, both are Madhu. Both are one and the same. That is to say, just as Vishwa and Virat, Taijas and Hiranyagarbha, Pragna and Ishvara, so this bright immortal person who is guiding the earth, there is a being, he is God, he is Tejomayaha, full of light, Amrutamayaha, he is an immortal Purusha. That Amrutamaya Purusha, same Amrutapaya Purusha, is in the individual body. That is to say, if the nature of the whole earth is pure consciousness appearing in the form of this earth, and whatever is the product of the earth, which is our body, that also will be exactly the same Brahma, the same pure consciousness. Because remember the law that the karya, the effect, cannot be different from the karana. In fact, there would be no difference at all. So, like, you know, if 100 pots are made, small, big, square, round, triangular, etc., out of clay, every one of those products are from outside, from inside, from bottom, from top. In fact, excepting clay, nothing will be there. It is nothing but clay. So, if Atman is only manifesting as earth, whatever is made up of earth, and our body is part of this earth, so the body also, Adhyatma is also nothing but that pure Atman. That is what he wants to say. This is with regard to the Svapnavastha. Sushupta, Sushuptau, Avyakrutaha, Yosu, Ekatvam, Siddhameva, Nirviseshatvat. And here, Shankaracharya gives a beautiful reasoning. In deep sleep, an individual forgets, I am an individual. He forgets, I am a Vishwa and I am Taijasa. That means, the manifest goes back into the unmanifest. Why? Because it is only the unmanifest which is manifesting first as Taijasa and secondly as a Vishwa. So, in this, the individual unmanifest becomes one with the universal unmanifest. That is what happens in the Sushupti. Sushuptau, in the state of the Sushupti, avyakruta yoho, ekatvam. So both are avyakruta. Ishvara is also unmanifest. The prajna, the individual, is also unmanifest. I hope you remember, prajna is the name of the Atma. When the Atma identifies with the Sushupti state, he, as an individual, he goes by the name of prajna. As a universal, he goes by the name of Ishvara. What is the comparison? Individual is also unmanifest and Ishvara is also unmanifest. Here is something very wonderful. When there is something unmanifest, how will you make a difference? This is small unmanifest, that is bigger unmanifest, this is blue unmanifest, that is red unmanifest, and this is small unmanifest, that is a big unmanifest, this is the individual unmanifest, that is a universal unmanifest. Unmanifest, you cannot make any division. It is only at this stage of dream as well as waking, we can make lot of differences. This is the fun. We have to learn how to enjoy it. So it is an established fact that the self in deep sleep called Prajna is identical with the unmanifested universal called Ishvara because of the absence of any distinction between them. Such being the case, it is clearly established that non-duality is realized by the disappearance of all duality. Adva sarva prapancha upashame advaita siddhi syat bhavishyati bhavati. Evancha sati, if this is understood properly because of the description given until now, etat siddham bhavati. This becomes crystal clear. What becomes crystal clear? Sarva dvaita upashame. When all the duality, sarva, all, dvaita, differentiation, distinction, upashame becomes merged, what remains? Advaitam. And we are calling it in human language advaitam. Really speaking, we cannot call it advaitam, etc. So, this is the marvelous description that we have got of the third mantra, which is describing the Jagradavastha. This is the Jagradavastha, and in Jagradavastha, the waking state is experienced by the instrumentality of these, what is called 19 seven limbs and the 19 ekona vimshati mukha dwaras, like five sense or five organs of knowledge, five pancha pranas, five organs of action, and what is called four components of the inner organ, that is called the mind, the buddhi, the chitta, and the ahankara, and in between that saptanga, to make us aware that you are individual, you are thinking, but really you cannot think of yourself as an individual, and unless you think yourself as universal, that is beautifully described. That is, the first pada is over. Now we are entering into the fourth mantra. The mantra goes like this. Svapnasthanaha antah prajnaha sartangaha ekona vimshati mukaha pravivikta bhuk thaijasa vitiya padaha. The second quarter pada is the thaijasa, whose sphere of activity is the dream, who is conscious of internal objects, who has seven limbs, 19 mouths, and who experiences the subtle objects. So, here something we have to understand. There is absolutely no difference between the description of the Jagradavastha and Swapnavastha. What is the difference? Is there absolutely same? Yes, there also same description comes like this Swapnavastha. What is the difference? In the waking state, they are gross panchabhutas. In the dream state, they are subtle panchabhutas. So, everything is subtle. That is going to be described. But then before we go, remember when we were about to enter into the description of the Jagradavastha Sthula Sharira, we have talked of certain factors, four factors. What are the four factors? What is the material out of which this particular body is made? What is the components of each body? What is the nature of each body? What is the function or goal of each body? We will talk the same things about the Swapna Sharira, called Sukshma Sharira, is also called Linga Sharira. So, let us dwell into it. The second body, which this fourth mantra is describing, is called Sukshma Sharira or subtle body. And this, like the gross body, also has four factors. First is, what is the material out of which this Sukshma Prapancha and Sukshma Sharira is made up? Remember, Jagrat Avastha, Jagrat Sharira and Jagrat Jagat, waking world, external world, and this individual gross body are completely made up of the same panchabhutas plus the antakarana. Here also, it is also made up of the panchabhutas, five bhutas, but they are not gross, they are called tanmatras or sukshma bhutas. Why? Because sukshma sarira, sukshma prapancha can be made only out of sukshma bhutas. They are five, exactly same five. Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala and Prithvi. But one difference is there, big difference. In the gross body, they are called Panchikrita. They have been divided into 50-50. One part is 50, the other 50 is divided, subdivided into 4, 12 and a half in 12 and a half. And this 12 and a half, it mixes with the other and makes it 100%. Whereas in the subtle body, it is Apanchikrita Sukshma Bhuta. They are not subdivided. They are 100% only each bhuta, each material is exactly the same. What are these? Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala and Prithvi. So they are the same. What are the components with which we are made? The scripture tells us that the subtle body has also got 19 components through which it interacts. Remember, Ekona Vimshati Mukha. In the description of the Stola Sharira, in the third mantra, we studied. What are these 19? First of all, the mind has got four. Manaha, Buddhi, Chitta, Ahankara. Mano, Buddhi, Ahankara, Chittani. And then, how many remains? 15. What are the 15? That five sense organs, pancha pranas, etc. This we will, is first of all, pancha gnanendriyani, five organs of knowledge in the sukshma sarira. These are the five sense organs of knowledge, because these are the instruments through which it experiences both the external as well as the internal world. But in the same eyes, what are the five organs? That is eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. What is the difference between the five sense organs of knowledge of the gross body, five sense organs of the subtle body? What is the difference? Remember, when the gross body eyes, for example, we are referring, they are called windows. They are called windows. And behind those gross eyes, there is a very subtle nerve. And that is what takes the information, makes it subtle, and carries it to the mind to present it to the mind. Therefore, that subtle nervous system, which is behind every gross sense organ of knowledge, similarly, sense organ of action also, that is called Jnanendriyas. So, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, never think that eyes, that we see each other's eyes, they are the same things. Because sukshma sarira means subtle body. Subtle body means nobody can see it. My subtle body cannot see your subtle body. My gross body can see your gross body. Your gross body can see my gross body. So similarly, five karmendriyas, the behind the hands, behind the legs, behind the organs of evacuation and regeneration, etc., there is a subtle nervous system belonging to the subtle body, not the gross five organs of action. Same way we have to understand compared to the sukshma sarira also. And then there are five senses of knowledge, five sense organs of action and five pancha prana, 5 pranas are there. So these pranas also have got 5 different functions are there. This description we will continue in our next class, giving us an opportunity to discuss if there is anything to be discussed with regard to either today's class or the past few classes. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.